Philip, let's continue talking about the cosmonauts and some of the things that they saw up there in space.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the reports we have is actually from the Mir space station, and it was the cosmonauts, and they have to excuse me, I cannot pronounce their names. I have trouble with English, never mind Russian.
But you know what? Nobody will know anyway.
Well, they were en route, quite literally, to dock with the Mir. And it was a peculiar-looking thing, but it had antenna and protrusions, they call it, but it certainly looked like antenna, certainly under its own control, certainly not of Soviet design, and it was illuminated. It had lights, and it appeared to be shadowing them, for want of a better word, certainly moving in tandem with them, in parallel with them, and they were absolutely perplexed by this thing. They were the top of the tree as far as certainly orbital spacecraft were at the time, and that's no disrespect to the US. And they reported it accordingly. And it was only after the fall of the Soviet authorities, the Soviet Empire, if you like, that the cosmonauts then started to speak up. And it was mainly because one of the cosmonauts called... came out and became interested in the subject. She was able to persuade others. And, the floodgates didn't exactly open, but they certainly began to leak. And the information slowly but surely came out. And whilst not all of them have gone on the record, and I think that's the same in the United States, certainly a number of them have, as well as, high-ranking military officials, not just the cosmonauts as well. And it's fascinating to hear it because... excuse me, when people ridicule the UFO subject, it's people like the cosmonauts, they have the most to lose by reporting this kind of thing. And so for them to go on to the record, go on the record is they must believe in it themselves. And they've more to lose than the ordinary Joe in the street, and that's no disrespect. But it makes for fascinating reading, it really does. And it's very, very difficult to dismiss. I mean, we all know that a lot of UFO sightings can be easily explained,
Right.
Balloons, planets, that kind of thing. But this is in space. A 747 doesn't go past you with its landing lights on in the fog and then you make a mistake,
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. And when people like that start to report this kind of thing, then you've got to sit up and take notice. You really have.
Did you get any reports, or did you investigate the incredible story of a UFO over Chernobyl when that event was occurring?
Absolutely. I mean, the whole point of Mysterious Sky, we look at the UFO phenomenon right back from prehistory almost, right the way up to modern-day Russia. And there were reports over Chernobyl on and around and afterwards when the disaster took place. Mostly seen by the local population there at the time, but certainly strange lights, strange objects seen at the time, and also even more up to date when we have the war in Chechnya. We talk about the UFO sightings over the Chechen battlefields that again have been reported by both civilian and military witnesses. But yes, there certainly were reports that came our way from on and around the time and afterwards of the Chernobyl disaster. Now, whether it was something keeping an eye on it, whether it was something to do with the panic at the time, or whether it was an after effect of the disaster, no one can be really sure. But there were certainly reports there without a question of a doubt.
Did any of them ever talk about or were they concerned about the visitations? Did they feel threatened at all?
No, I don't think there's ever been a direct threat. I mean, that's what the military were concerned about, of course. Was this a threat? Was it and I'll use this in the right context, was it a foreign technology that was, intending them harm? I mean, we do know a lot of the power behind the Soviet Empire was built on paranoia and scare tactics and this kind of thing. But the reports that have come our way, there was never, ever any direct threat, either implied or assumed by any of this phenomena. It was more that it was just there, for whatever reason, didn't seem to be doing any harm, didn't seem to be hurting anyone or anything, apart from, the Tunguska blast, that is. Although it certainly wasn't a malevolent force at all. I mean, again, like the US, like different places around the world, but parts of the Soviet Union, we still call it that for want of a better phrase, that seem to have a concentration of sightings, There seemed to be a lot in one particular area down the years. And the locals that live there and who observe this phenomenon have sort of become accustomed to it. You know, it's not going to hurt them. It's not killing their, you know, their livestock. It's not doing any harm. It is just there. And as puzzling and sometimes frightening as it may seem, if you come upon it unexpectedly, like most people do, it actually doesn't do you any harm, and it doesn't appear to be. And it, you know, if you look around the world at some of the areas that have the strange lights, they have them in Martha in Texas, for example. They also take on their own name. The locals tend to give them their own names as well. I mean, the Aborigines in Australia, for example, call them the Min Min lights. So, but they don't do them any harm. So they certainly weren't there. Nothing malevolent at all.
Do you know if the Soviets were working in tandem with the United States government or even the British government as a joint effort on some of these cases?
Can't find any information that would support that at all, George. Mm. I mean, none whatsoever. I mean, you have to remember that mostly at the time, this was a closed society. It took you great difficulty to even get out of the country on holiday or on vacation or whatever. And certainly no cooperation with any other agencies outside of the Soviet Union. It was purely, you know, insular. It was all done mainly by the KGB and the military, a lot of the investigation. There were the civilian researchers tried to cooperate as best as they could, and a lot of this was underground. Certainly in the 60s and 70s, they called it, you know, the Invisible College. There were a few scientists, mainly Dr. Felix Siegel, trying to get his work out into, the Western world. And a little bit of it did filter out, you know, now and again, but by no means to any great degree. And it was only really after the fall of the Soviet Empire that we could learn more about what happened there from all sources. But on an official basis, I'm not saying it didn't happen. All I'm saying is at the moment we haven't discovered that. But the files of the ministries there and the KGB are enormous. And who knows what may turn up in the future.
Were there ever any reports government leaders talking with any of these inhabitants of these craft or anything? Like we always hear, you know, Area 51 here in the United States, we hear all kinds of bizarre things. Did you get anything like that?
Not really, no. But we know that some of the Soviet leaders were interested. Joseph Stalin, back in 1947, for example, it is known, officially known, that he wanted to find out what had happened at Roswell. Because the Roswell crash, you know, the press release went around the world, but I don't think he ever found out. But he certainly was interested, wanted to know. As did at the same time over in the UK, it made the headlines here. And just a few years later, our Prime Minister Sir Winston Churchill wanted to know what all this stuff about UFOs was. That's in an official memo, you know, that anyone can get access to.